often that we get to have three elements of nature included in our scripture readings. It's something that we can be glad of, something we'd be happy about, because it's a connection, yet another connection between us and God. Today we heard about mountaintops, we heard about clouds, and we heard about life. All of these are parts and elements of nature. All of these are common parts and elements of nature that we deal with most every day or see it most every day. And they help us connect to God if we allow that connection to be made. In the gospel, we are presented with all three of those elements. First Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to go up the mountain to pray. And when they are praying, Jesus, as he is praying, his face changes in appearance, and his clothing becomes dazzling white. Then Peter and James and John fall asleep. And when they fall asleep, there are two men that appear, Moses and Elijah from the Old Testament. Moses representing the law that God communicated to the people. Elijah representing the prophets who communicated also the word of God to the people. Peter and James and John awoke at this, and then the cloud appeared. The cloud came, and in the cloud was the message. This is my beloved son, or chosen son, it says here. Listen to him. These are all really significant elements of what we're trying to connect between God and us today. Between us and God today. The real message, I believe, of this gospel is twofold. First, it reveals Jesus' divinity. It shows Peter, James, and John that Jesus is the Son of God when his face changes in appearance and when his clothing becomes dazzling white. And the most important message, at least for me, in this gospel, is that the law and the prophets that used to be communicated to the people of God in the Old Testament now are communicated to the people of God through his Son, Jesus. And they continue to be communicated to us today through Jesus. The first reading from Genesis just has a cloud with it. It has some light, but the light's included in stars. So they're not a bright light like we experienced in the gospel reading. But the cloud that Abram enters into when he experiences not being really with it and not being around as the fire pot and the torch go between the split animals, signifying a covenant, that cloud has significance. Tells us that God is present. Whenever, as in the gospel reading, whenever there is a cloud around and the Holy Spirit can be involved, it's considered to be a theophany, an experience of God. And although a strong message of that reading, that first reading, is that there is a covenant that is being cut, as it was said, is being cut between God and Abram. The covenant is that God is giving them his blessing, he's giving them land. He has told Abram that he's going to have thousands of descendants. Abram has just complained to God in the verses right before what we heard, that he didn't have any children. message, I think, that we get from this reading is that Abram expressed his faith in God, and God credited to him as righteousness, meaning that Abram showed God that he believed in him. He showed God that he believed everything he said. The reading that spoke to me the most of these three was the reading that of Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second reading. It's the one that I got the most excited about today at this time. It has the elements of light and cloud, but they're not involved in this reading. They're talked about, again, in the verses that just precede this reading. Paul is telling the Philippians, be like me. Basically, that's what he's saying to the Philippians. He's saying, be like me. Worship God in the same way that I worship God. Live your life in the same way that I live my life. It seems like it's an arrogant thing to say, but he's basing it on what's happened to him and what has happened to him in his life. He's basing it on an experience that he had that involved a cloud, you could say, but it definitely involved light. Paul, and there are three separate accounts of this in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul had been a persecutor of Christians, and he was traveling to Damascus, and he was on the road to Damascus, and he was struck to the ground, and there was an extremely bright light, and he couldn't see, and it was so bright that it blinded him. His companions got him up and took him to Damascus. He went to a certain place in Damascus and stayed there a while, and after he was there for a while, he was able to be baptized, and the scales fell from his eyes, and he could see again. This was a powerful experience for Paul, and it involved light. When he was blinded, he was in sort of a cloud, but it involved light. The light was so powerful, so bright, and it changed Paul's life. And so he's telling the people of Philippi today, he's telling them, be like me. But he's not telling them to be like me because of what he has accomplished. He's telling them to be like me because I'm still trying my best to turn my life around, to serve God, to live the will of God for my life. I'm still trying. I'm still working at it. And I know I haven't perfected it. And I know that what we're supposed to do, all of us, is live our lives according to the way God's plan is for our lives. And I'm still trying to do it. And our citizenship in heaven means that we will live as God wants us to live. And that's what we are aiming for now. To use those words, our citizenship in heaven. It's been said that the thing about light is that it really isn't ours. It's what we gather and shine back to the world. Paul's experience is a prime example, is the best example that it could be, I believe, of gathering the light that we're given and shining it back to the world. Paul goes on, he tells the people of Philippi that they should be following his ways. What's he doing? What are his ways? He's going to different places like Philippi, to Galatia, to Corinth, to Colossus, all of these different cities he's going, and he's spreading the word of God. He's spreading the good news of the gospel of God. selfish. Don't be self-serving. He says, he uses the words, don't serve your stomachs or something like that. But what he's talking about is being self-serving. Live your lives in the way that God calls us to. We have the opportunity to experience nature as well. We can have mountaintop experiences. You know, I always have to be up on top of a mountain, but, you know, a genuine mountaintop experience can be a revelation to us. When you're closer to God, it's usually a place that's very peaceful. So we can go to a creek. If we can't go to a mountaintop, we can go to a creek side. We can go to the side of the river. Some place that's peaceful, some place that we can connect with God and have some peace. And we can also create our own cloud of sorts. We can take 15 minutes out of the day. 15 minutes. Read a couple or three lines of scripture and just sit there and think about it. It's called Lectio Divina. You just think about what those words are saying. Pick just a phrase. What is it saying? What's God trying to say to you? But I believe most of all, what we can do nowadays is use the light that we're providing. And many times it's just a small thing. If you see somebody do a kindness for somebody else, take note of it. If somebody, you see somebody open the door for somebody, if you see somebody let somebody in the traffic, take note of it. Think about it. Understand that that's what God calls us to do, to serve one another. We all have the opportunity to use different elements.